Well, good morning, church. Good to see everybody here today. We got our first snow, right? I don't know. I don't think there were 2 inches on my yard for sure. But anyway, we're going to be looking at a couple passages of scripture. Initially, we're going to go to Psalm 69 and just two verses out of Psalm 69. Verses 30 and 31. And the title of the message is Cultivating a Grateful Heart. Cultivating a Grateful Heart. The scripture reads, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox or a bull with horns and hoofs. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading and the proclamation of his word. In 2008, a young Australian woman, Haley Bartholomew, found she wasn't enjoying life much. She described herself as feeling lost and stuck on a treadmill. And it was almost unexplainable because she had a husband who loved her and whom she loved. She had beautiful children who captured her heart. But yet she was feeling down about life, very down about life. And so she sought the counsel of a nun, and the nun advised her to spend time each day reflecting on something for which she was grateful. Haley began a project called 365 Grateful. And every day she took a photograph of something for which she was grateful. And as she did this, it changed her life. It allowed her to see things that she had never noticed. Haley had always thought of her husband as unromantic. One day, she took a picture of him serving up dinner, which she was grateful for him serving up dinner. But she noticed something on that day. She noticed that the largest portion of the pie was placed on her plate. And she thought about that the largest portion was always placed on her plate. And that was one of the ways her husband showed her how much he loved her and he cared for her. She looked at mothering as a kind of a boring job. But as she took photos of her children holding out their hands to her, playing and exploring, she discovered how much joy and wonder there was in her world. As she practiced the art of thankfulness and gratitude, she found herself lifted out of a rut and celebrating life. Now, last Sunday evening, as we had our East Madison Thanksgiving celebration, part of what I took from that celebration, from some of your testimonies, was the need to consciously cultivate a grateful attitude. We need to consciously cultivate a grateful attitude. As the old song says, we need to count our blessings. And I think it'll make a huge difference in our lives and how we see life as we experience it, and also how we treat others. Because when we're thankful, we tend to treat other people much better. It'll truly move us out of a rut and lead us to celebrating life. I think thankfulness is an attitude that God desires for each of us. I think it's a root attitude that each of us should have. From the passage of scripture that we read in Psalm 69, and really from God's entire world, I think we see this truth. God's people seek to continually cultivate a grateful heart in every area of life. God's people seek to continually cultivate a grateful heart in every area of life. Now, as I was thinking about thankfulness this week, I did a lot of studying, for some reason, in Romans 1. And you might say, how does Romans 1 speak to us about thankfulness? Well, Romans is kind of Paul's full explanation of what salvation truly is. And Romans shows us how every human being is a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 1 first shows us that God's righteousness by faith has been revealed. That righteousness every person needs doesn't come to us by our works, doesn't come to us by our effort, but it comes by faith in Jesus. That's the righteousness that has been revealed, that every person can be righteous through faith in Jesus Christ. It also says a reason that this is true. Why is the righteousness by faith is revealed? Why can't we have it except through faith in Jesus? It's because God is a righteous God, and what also is being revealed is His wrath from heaven. God's wrath is being revealed as His righteousness is being revealed. See, now what is the wrath of God? It is His holy disposition against injustice, wrong, evil. It's His holy disposition against injustice, wrong, and evil. And it is an intense disposition of God against injustice, wrong, and evil. God is not neutral about evil. God is not neutral about evil. John Stott wrote this: "The wrath of God then is almost totally different from human anger. It does not mean that God loses His temper, flies into a rage, or is ever malicious, spiteful, or vindictive. The alternative to wrath is not love, but neutrality in moral conflict. And God is not neutral. On the contrary, His wrath is His holy hostility to evil, His refusal to condone it or to come to terms with it, His just judgment upon it. And because God's wrath is being revealed, and because all of us under sin deserve His wrath, there's got to be a just way for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be declared not guilty and righteous in His sight. And that just way is Christ Jesus. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. By faith, Jesus' righteousness is counted to us, and He has paid our sin when He died on the cross. That's why the only righteousness that we can ever possess is the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus. That's the only righteousness that any human being can have, because Jesus justly paid for our sins. And so this righteousness that comes by faith has now been revealed. Okay, you might say, I still don't see the connection to thankfulness. Now, Paul, as he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, writes about the root causes of sin and rebellion against God and why God's wrath is being revealed. And so in Romans 1, verses 18 through 21, I just want to read this to you. It says this. It talks about the foundational roots of everything that sin truly is, everything that God is against. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Now these verses help us understand that sin is ungodliness and unrighteousness. Ungodliness and unrighteousness, those things that it's really kind of one thing, it's not two things, is living our lives without God, acting as if He does not exist, or acting as if He has no claim upon our lives or the way we live, acting as if He doesn't know what absolutely is best for us. Now, how does ungodliness and unrighteousness work itself out? It suppresses the truth. Now, the word suppresses has the idea of it pushes down. It holds down the truth. It actively holds it down. Now, Paul is saying that human beings, sinful men, suppress the truth. It is not that we don't know it. It's that we consciously ignore it and push away from it. Now, what's the truth that we are actively pushing away from us, all human beings, and ignoring? What is that truth? Well, Paul says all human beings are actively pushing away the truth of God, the truth that there is a God and that he has a claim on our life. We push away the truth of God. Paul says, the scripture says, what can be known about God is plain to them, to all humans. There are some things that you don't have to have a Bible to know about God. You can see his creative power. You can see how he holds the universe together. You can see his divine nature through the creation. Theologians call this general revelation. Every culture in the world has some kind of concept of God. You will not find any culture, any primitive society that doesn't have some kind of concept of God. They have much time the wrong concept of God because they make him into an idol, but somehow his eternal power and divine nature have been perceived. And so we can look at the universe and just by looking know that there's a creator God that has a claim on our lives. Then Paul tells us that even though human beings know this, they don't honor, glorify God, or give him thanks. They don't honor God or give him thanks. Now, this is a part of the foundational roots of evil. Though people see the evidence of a creator God in nature, they suppress the truth of God from their minds. They refuse to glorify God as God and refuse to give him thanks. Now, if suppressing the truth and refusing to glorify or thank God is part of the foundational roots of evil, those who have put their faith in Jesus now seek to do just the opposite, right? We seek to embrace truth, and we seek to live our lives glorifying God and continually thanking him. That is the mark of a believer. That has to be the mark of all believers. And that is, those are attitudes that we ought to cultivate in our lives, to seek to embrace truth, to grab hold of it, to obey it, to do what it says, and to continually thank God for all he has done, for who he is, and all he's done for us. This is what you and I are called to do. We are called to embrace the truth of God and glorify and continually thank him. If we seek to live this way, we'll discover the very purpose of our lives. If we continually cultivate an attitude of praising and thanking God, embracing his truth, we will understand the purpose of our lives. We are to know him and to love him and to live for him. The verse from the Psalms is kind of a cool verse. It says that praising the Lord with songs and magnifying him with thanksgiving pleases God more than offerings of an ox or the hooves. What is it saying? God, your attitude of thanking God, of praising God, pleases him more than all the religious rituals that you could ever perform. So, as believers, we need to cultivate an attitude of praise and a continual attitude of thanksgiving. Now, there are times that's easier to do than others, right? But we are to always do it. The Bible says, give thanks in all circumstances. Now, understand, you don't have to give thanks for all circumstances. You know, you don't have to give thanks that, you know, someone smashed into your car or someone ran over your foot. You don't have to. That's not what it says. It says give thanks in all circumstances. Because if someone runs into your car and someone smashes your foot, God can use that situation in your life to bring about good and to glorify his name. We misunderstand Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving doesn't mean that everything happened is just wonderful. You know, that's not what it is. Thanksgiving is knowing that whatever happens in our life, whatever evil the enemy means to bring to us, whatever terrible things happen in our lives, no matter how bad they are, God can use it for our good and for His glory. See, that's the way that you can give thanks. You know, some things just aren't good. You don't give thanks for some of the evil that happens in the world and the evil that happens to Christians. But you can thank God that He's a God that can take whatever the enemy means for evil, and He can turn it to good. Now, how can we cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving? First of all, I think we just need to realize that a lot of things. I'm just going to point out a few things this morning. We need to realize that God uniquely created each one of us. There is only one you. There is only one Bob Ray. You might say, thank God, you know, there's only one Bob Ray. There's only one you. He made you a unique, one-of-a-kind masterpiece. His masterpiece. Now, you may have an identical twin, but that person is not you, and you are not them. And even though his masterpiece is marred by sin, there is just uniquely one you. And there's only one you who can do the will of God, who can follow God and love God and live for God. For you. Nobody else can do that. God created you to receive His forgiveness through Jesus Christ, know Him intimately, and to passionately love Him and serve Him. He made one of you. You might say, I wish He'd have made me different. Well, we're all marred by sin, and we all need to continually let God change us in those areas. But God didn't make a mistake when He made you. God didn't make a mistake when He made you like you did and gave you the body that you did and gave you the face and gave you the skin. You see, He knew what He was doing. And He loves you, and you need to understand that. And He has a unique purpose for you as you serve Him and love Him and live in communion with His people. God created each of us. Forgot my clicker. Secondly, God provided you with life and everything that you need. Now, God Himself not only created you, but He provides you with life and everything that you need to live. Simply living is a blessing from God. Every single breath you breathe is a gift from God. Your heart beats at His discretion. He knows the very hairs of your head. You might think no one knows you, you're not important to anyone, but God gives you life, He loves you, He knows you, He cares about you, and He provides for you. We are in His hands. Now, oftentimes, you know, we think of that in a negative way. You know, Jonathan Edwards talked about, you know, men in under the wrath of God are like a spider over a fire hanging on a spider web. Yeah, that's true, but it's also true that God wants to give you these things. He gives you breath because He loves you. He gives you everything you need. You can trust Him to provide for you. God provides you with life and everything you need. He loves you. He cares about you. He provides for you. If you are not His child, I believe He wants you to become His child and be born again into His kingdom and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. So God provides you with everything you need to live. There's a third thing I want to point out to you. God, because of His love and mercy, gives you every single blessing you know or ever will know. You see, God is a God of blessing. God is a God of blessing. Because He loves you, He provides you with blessings. James 1:17 tells us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You see, God, because of His love, He gives us blessings. He blesses people. You know, the love of family that you know and friends, the joys of life, the things that you have and enjoy, the experiences that you have that bless your life are because God gives them to you. God gives them to you. And finally, I want to say to you, there's one more thing. The most important blessing of that any of us can have is that God provides you forgiveness and salvation by the costly sacrifice of Jesus. By the costly sacrifice of Jesus. The best realization that we have that will enable us to cultivate a grateful heart is, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. It's realizing God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's knowing that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you realize that every day, no matter what happens to you, you can have a thankful heart. See, what other possible reason could any believer need to realize that our salvation was purchased by the blood of the Son of God? And because He has purchased it for us, we are forever forgiven, set free, and saved. Anatoly reminded us last week, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also graciously give us all things? You see, God wants us as His people to be people who praise and thank Him every moment of our lives. Now, none of us do that, but all of us should seek to do that. We were created to live for God's glory, to give thanks to Him, to know Him and love Him all of our days. And see, if you don't regularly seek to do this, you can miss out on part of the reason for your very existence. See, to cultivate a heart that praises and thanks Him day by day by day. You know, sometimes being around believers, they're the most negative people in the world. And I think part of the reason is we put a lot of negative stuff in our minds. We don't focus on the right stuff. You know, if I listen to too much radio, if I listen to too much news on the TV, and if I listen to all that stuff, I could be a miserable person. And Carla will tell you that sometimes I am a miserable person. But if I'm thinking about all God's goodness to me and salvation, all the blessings that He has provided for me, that He has made just one of me and He's given me everything I need to live, then my heart can continually be more and more and more grateful. Seek to cultivate a grateful heart. Seek to focus on the blessings that you've been given day by day by day. Don't get distracted by the difficulties of life in such a way that you forget the blessings, that you forget all that God is doing for you and He has done for you. You see, He's so good to us as His people, and our lives ought to be lives of continual gratitude toward Him. God's people seek to continually cultivate a grateful heart in every area of life. Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us. God, for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus that no one can ever take away from us. Lord, because they are kept in heavenly realms in Christ, because we are sealed with the Spirit of God, those blessings are ours. And we thank You for the material blessings that You give us, because we know also that they are two gifts from You that we might enjoy life. And we thank You for family and relationship. And Lord, we thank You for memories of wonderful things in our life and of people who have gone on before us. Lord, we thank You for those wonderful blessings that even though, Lord, all of us have been affected by grief and sorrow, Lord, we don't sorrow as people who have no hope. We have the hope of Jesus. And we know that those who believe in You have gone on before us. we will see them again. We thank you for this. Lord, there's so many blessings that we want to thank you for. And we do. Father, I pray anyone's here today that's never realized the great love that you have for them, that's never put their trust in Jesus, I pray that today that they might trust you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, I pray for Christians who are struggling with despair or discouragement. And Lord, I don't want to downplay that. And I know there are many different reasons for a lot of that. But Lord, I know that part of the answer is to focus on all that you are doing and have done for us. And I pray that you would enable them to do that more and more. I ask you to work in our lives to make us more like Jesus, that we might cultivate praise and thanksgiving in every area of our lives. It is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.